Remember we're trying to connect Yosef? We have to do the Parsha too, Hamaisa. Yeah? We have to do the Parsha. Remember we're in the middle of this Mahalach?
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue. We're trying to connect the story. We had seven examples of the story of Yosef HaTzadik with who? With the story of Purim. Yes? And I want to continue where we left off because we said that Amalek always gets us when we're on the derech. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Where was the last akuda that we left off? Why is Haman in the story or Avram and Yosef? No, we did Avram and Yosef inside and outside. No? Let's continue. I want to find where there's two Gemaras. We got to find two Gemaras. Did anyone find the Gemara about a Ma'areach? If someone is Ma'areach as a host at someone's house, at Talmud Chacham, then his property is blessed. I want to check that out. All right, where is that? But there's another Gemara I have to find. Let's now fast forward 1,000 years to the Jewish people in Persia. The picture is not great. They really seem to have let themselves slide in terms of their Torah living. Not only are there glaring issues, such as their attendance at Ahasuerus' feast, I can't imagine the food was kosher. They're also generally rather... What'd you say? It was kosher, you said? I thought they had yayin there. No, no. Stam yayinim is usher, no? They were trying to integrate themselves, I mean? Not only are there glaring issues, such as their attendance at Ahasuerus' feast, they're also generally rather lackluster in terms of mitzvah performance. What's the riot? The situation is actually summed up by Haman himself, who introduces them to Ahasuerus with the words Yeshnu Am Echad. What's Yeshnu Am Echad mean? What does Yeshnu Am Echad mean? There's a single nation. But the Gemara, and I want to find where this Gemara says, that the word Yeshnu is connected with the word Yashan, asleep. For the Jewish people were indeed at that time asleep from mitzvahs. And such, Haman felt that they were vulnerable. The question is, how did this happen? How did they allow themselves to enter this dormant state? Please get this. Apparently, the Jewish people at that time themselves subscribed to the concept that fundamentally, their relationship with Hashem really only existed in Eretz Yisrael. Sam, you with me? After having been in the land for Eretz Yisrael for over 800 years, it had become very easy to make the natural, in quotes, association between their location and their relationship with Hashem. With the result that now they have been exiled, they kind of gave up. We mentioned before the kinds of luchos could be read from both sides. It is very interesting to wonder what purpose this actually served. Was there someone who was standing behind Moshe, for whose benefit they were written so that he could read them as well? The Gemara discusses the significance of the script being on the two sides of the luchos. That's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Dal in the base. Nikroim Bifnim and Nikroim Bechutz. They could be read inside and they could be read outside. These words are rather enigmatic. Why are the two sides of the luchos referred to as inside and outside? Inside where and outside of where? Based on our Mahalach, we understand the messages the luchos could be read whether we're inside of land or Israel or outside of it. In both locations, the Torah is facing us and addressing us. It is for this reason that when Esther asks whether or not we had abandoned the luchos, she does so by alluding to the specific aspect of the script. For Esther is saying, if the Jewish people have indeed abandoned the luchos, it is because they've lost sight of the fact that the luchos were written on both sides. No matter where you're on the planet Earth, you have to observe Torah and mitzvahs, not just in Eretz Yisrael, with one side facing the outside as well. You follow the symbolism here? You follow the symbolism? That the luchos inside and outside connotes wherever you're in Eretz Yisrael or if you're outside Eretz Yisrael. You got to do the mitzvahs. The Jews were 800 years in where? We had been 800 years in Eretz Yisrael. Now that we're forced to leave? Now listen to this. This is an amazing shot. I want you to get this. What galus are we in now? Edom. What galus was it during Persia? Paras. So what's Haman have to do with anything? It's like he took over the galus. He's Edom, no? You ever thought about that? Once we understand what's behind Esther's question, we can appreciate Mordechai's answer to it. As we noted, he replied with the word karahu, which alludes to the fact that they were under threat from Amalek. We asked, how is it that a response to Esther's question about the luchos? In order to understand this matter, it was prefaced with what we will probably sound like a strange question, and that is, what is Haman doing in the Purim story? To be mazah the background to this question, we need to remind ourselves that the story of Purim took place during the second of the four exiles experienced by the Jewish people, the Persian exile. Haman is descended from who? Amalek. If you assume that approach, Yushalmi says he walked in the ways of Amalek. But if you assume he was genetic Amalek, Haman is descended from Amalek, who himself was who? The grandson of Esav. The exile of Rome, which is under the auspices of Esav, is the fourth and final exile. Indeed, it is the one they were currently in, pending the final redemption. We can therefore be mazur that Haman was not a natural part of the story. In fact, it appears that he basically barged into someone else's exile and took over. He hijacked this exile. Now that we expect any more from someone like Haman, but that's actually quite rude. This then is what is behind the kasha. What is the answer? I'll tell you the answer. The reason why Haman got entry in the Purim story is because we let him in. We let him in. You follow me, Sam? Once we described this concept that our relationship with Hashem was no longer extant when we were on the inside, we thereby empowered Haman, the arch-descendant of Amalek, who himself subscribed to the very same concept. If the relationship does not exist when we are off location, then there's no one to protect us. And therefore, who comes after us? Who comes after us? Amalek. We are essentially where we were when Amalek first met us. Nowhere. Asher karka baderech, off location. Thus did Haman gain entry to the story of Purim. The Gemara identifies the source in the Torah, the marker in the Torah. Where is Esther mentioned in the Torah? Vanochi Aster, Aster Panai Bayomahu. Where's that Gemara Chulin? You know it from the Mordechai. Kufla Mitesim and Beis. Esther Minatari Minai, Mordechai Minatari Minai, Haman Minatari Minai. You spoke about Mordechai at the Shabbaton. It says that I shall surely conceal my face on that day. The Maharal is Masber that the double expression Haster Aster refers to the fact that at that time the Jewish people experienced a double concealment of the divine countenance. Wow. What was the double concealment? For they underwent oppression from Haman while already already being within the exile of who? Achashverosh. You follow me? It was a double what? It was a double concealment of Eschachas Pratis. Once under Haman, and we already were under Achashverosh. This is how Mordechai answers Esther's kasha. The fact that Kareu is here is indeed confirmation of your fears that the Jewish people have abandoned the luchos that were written in both sides. Mizeh u'mizeh. Because they thought they could only observe the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. They were wrong. It was inside and outside, no matter where you are, even though they were there 800 years. Okay, let's finish up the Mahalath. Let's get it. If our predicament at that time came as a result of our believing that our connection to Hashem does not exist when we're off location, the recovery from that predicament consists of embracing the concept that we're indeed connected to Him in all locations. In terms of our discussion, we would say that in order to merit salvation at the time of the Purim story, we need to be prepared to announce that we are what? What kind of people are we? We discussed it yesterday. What kind of people are we? God-fearing people. Es Elokim ani yore. Yosef HaTzadik. Es Elokim ani yore. In other words, we need to take our cue from Yosef. Just as Yosef was distinguished in terms of expressing his connection to Hashem, wherever he found himself, even in Mitzrayim, so too the Jewish people need to learn to do likewise. This is why we state that it's important to take notice in the root of Masa Avos, episode identified by the Chacham Zichron and Bracha. What do we say yesterday? Come on. Not only did Binyamin get the five suits, who gave it to him? Yosef gave it to him. Ultimately, it was Yosef who gave the Jewish people in the days of Achashverosh the wherewithal to extricate themselves from the threat to their existence by providing an example all those years previously that they can now emulate. Okay? You got me? Now let's get to 10 and 11 Nakuda. Inside out. At this Nakuda, we proceed to ask the following question. What was Yosef's secret to remaining a God-fearing person even when he was on the outside? What was the secret? What was the secret? I'm going to reveal the secret. As we have seen, the basis of our connection to Hashem, wherever we are, is the element of godliness we carry within us, because that element is always inside of us, Selam Elokim. Hashem is likewise always connected to us. The fundamental concept is that when one changes location from the inside to the outside, the only thing you will always take with him is what is inside of him. Many concepts and qualities that we possess are imposed upon us externally from our surroundings. As such, they can change when our surroundings change. It is only the things that are now completely embedded within us that do not change regardless of our surroundings. The one who exemplified this in the highest level is who? Yosef. The reason he's able to state that he's a God-fearing person wherever he is because his actions were purely a product of what he knew to be right and not what was accepted and glorified by his current surroundings. It was this quality that allowed him to withstand the constant temptation from Potiphar's wife. With no external support and nothing to fortify his will except a crystal clear knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, something was indelibly embedded within him and traveled with him wherever he went. Indeed, the quality of the luchos themselves, inside and outside, that can be read from both sides, derived from the fact that the writing on them was engraved all the way through. When a message is engraved within a person through and through, it too will stay with them on the outside as well. While not everyone has not the elevated internal of Yosef on an operational level, every Jew has the same essential quality on a what? Fundamental level. We're built with Tzelem Elokim. This is our inner essence revealed to us at the time of Purim that allowed us to take up Yosef's call. We are always connected wherever we are. And this is the Hesber Tadlo Yada, number 11. This concept may give us a new insight into the famous features of Purim, that a person is obligated to become intoxicated until he loses the finer points of his cognitive faculties. What is the goal of this unusual mitzvah? And I think there's a Gemara in Brachas in our Masechta that can shed light with this. The Gemara in Brachas on Chaf Tesem and Beis. Amar Le Eliyahu Le Rav Yehuda. Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rav Yehuda, Lo Tirtach Lo Techate, Lo Tarve Lo Techate, Shata Yotzel Derech Himalech Bekon Chavitzei, Amar Rav Chizu Zut Tfilas Aderech. Wow. Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rav Yehuda, Do not become angry, and you will not sin. Do not become inebriated, and you will not sin. And when you're about to embark on a journey, consult your Maker, and then leave. Said Rav Chista, this is referring to Tfilas Aderech. What do these three pieces of advice from Eliyahu HaNavi have in common? Are they in any way related to one another? The Maharal is Masbir, that these three things are very much connected. For they all address the perils that we may beset a person who has lost his bearings. It is normal that awareness of one's surroundings allow one to maintain morally correct standards. When one is in the mismedrish, hopefully he's doing the right things. Even though sometimes I see some of those guys watching videos. When one loses a sense of his surroundings, his standard of behavior may fall. This can happen when a person flies into a rage when he's angry or when he becomes inebriated. He loses himself. He loses touch with his behavioral settings and acts in a way he would normally not act and might later regret. Same thing is true for one who goes on a journey. In this case, it is his surroundings themselves that change. But when he's away, maybe he'll do some other things, but the effect is the same. Without familiar surroundings, he may lose his bearings and act below par. This is what the Maharal writes in the Siva Soilim, the Siva Avodah. Interestingly, whereas regarding anger and abbreviation, Eliyahu's advice was, don't do it. When it becomes to going on a journey, he did not say this. Don't go on the journey. As sometimes one needs to go on a journey. You need to go on a business trip. Rather, he said, consult with your Maker. What does he mean, himalech bekoncha? Consult with your Maker. Which the Gemara's Maaz refers to tefillas aderech, the tefillah, the traveler's prayer. This gives us an entirely new appreciation of this tefillah. It is not just a tefillah for protection from hazards along the way. Of course it is. Accidents, God forbid. It is consulting with the Eibishter, with one's Maker, before leaving so that one retains one's equilibrium as he goes from inside to outside. On Purim, you know what? We also take a journey. I don't know if we say tefillas aderech, but on Purim we also take that journey. We simulate the transition from inside to the outside by losing our bearings through drinking. In so doing, we are looking to tap into the special quality of Purim that highlights the holiness that is inside of us. It is this inner quality we are moving outside to express. The day of Purim may end by finding us. The day of Purim may end by finding us in various degrees of off location. Each one according to his minig. As I suggested, not to get drunk. But wherever we may go, she should be accompanied by the holiness of the day that celebrates the divine connection that will always stay with us. If we are clear in our goal and consult with our Maker before embarking, it should be indeed a most rewarding journey. L'chaim. So let's put it all together. The Mahalach and Machshove for Purim started off with the seven comparisons between what? Can't just not review it, otherwise it goes in one or out the other. What were the seven comparisons? I said it at dinner last night. What were the seven comparisons in the story? You guys remember? I can't hear you. Number one, what Yosef is second in command. Achashverosh is second in command. Number two, the king removes his royal signet and gives it to someone. You know, Paro to Yosef, Achashverosh to Haman, later to Mordechai. Three, the king makes a feast for all his servants. You know, I never realized that Paro made a party for all his servants when it was David's birthday. Did you know that? Asim mishta l'chol avadav. Yeah, you knew that? I forgot the Pashup Shandu. I knew he had celebrated his birthday, but I didn't realize it said Asim mishta l'chol avadav. I forgot the Pashup. So too Achashverosh. Four, the tzaddik finds special grace and favor in the eyes of all the onlookers. Yosef and who else? Esther. Five. What was it? The tzaddik performs a favor that was forgotten. Yosef's interpretation of the butler's dream. And Mordechai's uncovering of who? Bigtan and Teres' assassination plot. Six. The king's sleep is used to advance the cause of the tzaddik. Disturbing dreams for Paro, sleepless nights for Achashverosh. And number seven, the identity of the tzaddik or tzaddikus remains concealed until the right moment. Yosef identifies from his brothers, and Yester's identity from Achashverosh and Haman. Yes? Seven similarities, Benji, in this story. You follow me? What were the phrases we had? Four phrases. What were the four phrases? What were the four phrases that we had that showed it? Every day she was talking to him. Asia's Potiphar. Every day, Lamaisa, they try to get who? Mordechai to bow down to Haman. That's one. He can darbam al Yosef yom, yom yom. Yom yom, l'shom alim. What's number two? Yafkid pikinim alach, yikmetsu is kolok ha-shonim, yafkid amel pikinim kolok medinis. What'd they do? Both Paro and Achashverosh advised to appoint officers for the purpose of gathering. Practically the same words. Let Paro appoint officers throughout the land, they will gather the fruits from the years. Let the king Achashverosh appoint officers throughout the province of his kingdom, they will gather all the what? The maidens. What's number three? Shakolti. Rachman al-Assam, and Ben Yomin went down, he said he was bereaved. He was bereaved. What did she say when she had to go on Achashverosh? We're going to learn in the alumnus today. Kasher avadati avadati. When she went in Baratza. And then the last one is Yisapek. Yisapak. Only two times in all Tanakh. It's mentioned in the story of Yosef and only in Esther. Yosef needed to restrain himself not to give over his what? His identity when he saw Ben Yomin. And what else? Yisapak, he restrained himself. Haman restrained himself. He came angry at seeing Mordechai. These are seven events and four phrases. Now, who is the one who took over what? Who is the one who took over the Amalek? Yoshua. Why Yoshua? Because he was a God-fearing man. From who? From Yosef, who's God-fearing. You need to be God-fearing to take over who? Isn't everyone God-fearing? Isn't Avram God-fearing? What was unique about Yosef? Because Yosef was what? Yosef was in a time period that was what? A place that really was void of everything. And that's what it means, L'das ma'azev al-ma'azev. She wanted to know what's going on. What did Esther say? You guys must be ignoring the luchos. Wow. You must be ignoring the luchos. And then he told her everything, karau. What's karau? Shekar chavederech. Right? The descendant came upon us was who? Was Amalek. So Esther knew that they were ignoring what? The Torah, the luchos. And what happened? What happened, Lamaisa? They were talking on one thing, the mother. No, it's all the same thing. Shirkarcha baderech lamaisa is they lost what was going on. They're off location. They didn't think they have to what observe Torah and mitzvahs. There was no Yerushalayim, and that's why Yoshua came from that thing. That's to say, you know what? He's from Yerushalayim. That's what Avram and Yosef, a God fearing Jew lamaisa, right? And that's the notion of doing the with Amalek. And that's the inside and outside, Lamaisa. The Luchos could be read from inside and outside. You have to, wherever you are, we can't be sleeping. Yeshnu, where's the Gemara? Say, Yeshnu, Am Echad. Yashan, sleeping. Where's the Gemara? We got to find those two Gemaras. You have to learn the Torah and do your Shemayim both on and out, Lamaisa. That's what Haman hijacked the story. Because it's Golas what? It's Golas Paras. Why'd he come in? Because we were out to lunch. We were on the outside, Lamaisa. And therefore, that's what it means. Yosef distinguished himself in all locations, inside and out. We have to find our Tzelem Elokim, Lamaisa. Okay? We have to find our Tzelem Elokim. That's the connection with the story. And that's why Eliyahu HaNavi said, in without. You can't be a phony, ever, we say. But certainly with Purim, the Tocha Kibaru. Let's close this Inyan Paro on Purim, and then we'll go to Parsha, and then we got a lot to do. I got a lot of the Mar Mekaymus. Got a package. You learn together, yeah? Akiva Gisser's coming. He said at 2:30. The last time he saw him was 2:30. The revival. Maybe until he comes, Lamaisa. The revival. The stretching, Lamaisa. The stretching. You can do it. The revival. Just like Rabbi Shechter Reb Zeir Lamaisa, and they revived him. Windows of the soul. There's an expression of Yosef's quality, a poignant expression of Yosef's quality of innerness is found in the Gemara, which tells us that on the final day after a year of being tempted by Potiphar's wife, Yosef's resolve began to weaken and he was in danger of succumbing. At that stage, his father's image appeared to him in the window and said, at some point in the future, your brother's names will be engraved in the stones worn on the coin, by the Kohen Gadol. Do you want your name to be missing from among them? Sota lamed vavim beis. Upon hearing these words, Yosef's resolve was strengthened. His disappearance of Yaakov Yosef in the window is quite remarkable. As far as we know, Yaakov did not know that Yosef was still alive. Certainly did not know where he was or what was happening to him. Two, additionally, what is the meaning of this visit? Wasn't it cheating for Yaakov to appear to Yosef and admonish him? Most people would similarly refrain from sinning after such a visit, yet they're left to work it out for themselves. Rather, Poskim Masber, that when the Gemara says Yosef saw the appearance of his father in the window, it means that he had absorbed and internalized his father's message and values to such a degree that Yaakov's presence was a living reality to him. Thus, when Yosef was in danger of contravening something his father stood for, it was as if he received a visit from him and admonished him not to do so. Who conjured up the image? Yosef did. It wasn't magic. With Yaakov's message such a part of him on the inside, Yosef was able to withstand and overcome the influences from the outside. That is what Purim is all about. You follow me? Shikaracho Badera. Remember I told you Yosef is the Machayev of the Rishoyim? I think I told you the Gemara Neuma, no? There's this guy who's very handsome, is Mizana with many women in his life, goes to Shemayim, and the guy, Hashem says, why'd you act like this? He says, you're so handsome, you know, he couldn't resist. Hashem says, there's no more handsome than Yosef HaTzadik, and he resisted. Yosef HaTzadik is the Machayev for the Rishoyim. This is the Chiddush Lomais. I want to bring out the Ashkofa, the Machshava Purim. The inside and the outside, so no matter where you are, you follow me? It's a connection to the Eibishter, the Tzelem Elokim. Okay, let's close with something quickly in the Parsha, and then we'll discuss it more. You know, this is the Parsha of the Karbonis. Karbonis, Sefer Vayikra, Leviticus. Leviticus is the book of Karbonis. What is the purpose of the Karbonis? What is Karbonis? So, I'd like to say there's Sur Merah Vaseh Tov. And there are two versions of the Sur Merah. One is, the Rambam writes, is to destroy, the pagans used to offer, used to bow down to animals. They used to deify animals. So we kill the animals, and we offer them to Hashem, to show who's the real boss? Hashem. So it's a type of Bira Avodah Zarah. Then there's another Mahalach. And that is very radical in the Sur Merah. That the notion of religion that existed then was the way the pagans offered korbanos to their gods, even if they weren't animals. So Hashem wanted to ease us into religion of serving Him, so He said, offer korbanos to Him. A little bit radical. That's like Kukosem Losalechu. That's the way the Abarbanel quotes the Rav and the Mornavuchim. You hear what I'm saying? It's a little extreme. But the Rabban says, I don't like any of this pshat. I don't like this approach. Because if the whole point is to get rid of Avodah Zarah, there were many examples in Tanakh where people offered korbanos and Avodah Zarah didn't exist. By Noach, he did a korban, there was no Avodah Zarah, right? Balak did korbanos, that was to Hashem. There are many examples. Reach Nichoach LaHashem, that famous phrase. If it's to get rid of Avodah Zarah, that wouldn't be a pleasant phrase to Hashem, would it? Just getting rid of something bad. Why would that be pleasant? No. So the Rabban argues, says that korban is really karov. Come close to Hashem. And come close to Hashem in what way? You can't offer yourself on the Mizbeach. It's suicide. Suicide is an Isser. According to the Minchas Chinuch, it's Isser. It's not lo tirtzach, but the Psikta says it's lo titratzeach. It is an Isser of Ritzicha. Someone takes a gun to my head and says, kill yourself, I'm going to kill you. I have to let him kill me. I can't do it. It's Ritzich, according to the Pesik. So you can't come offer yourself. So what do you do? We're going to say today at Mincha. Remember I showed you? The Miyun Chalbi Vidomi. Yes? The diminution of our fats and bloods. Yes? On the day of the fast day. Come on, everybody. All these warm brachas went off. I'm a Sikhta. You Zion him an olive. Right? That a tiny is a korban, Lamaisa. Tiny is a korban. Right? The tiny is a korban. You said Slichas this morning? Proud of you guys. Said the Slichas, Lamaisa. Give me a gisser. Shmuel, where's Shmuel? Here, look at the second paragraph. Miyut Chalbi Vidami, right from the Gemara. For the second in the Ratzel, right out of the Gemara. So it's a Korban. Come close to Hashem. It's a Seh Tov. That's why it says Reif Nechok Hashem. Ramban says, I want to accentuate the positive, not the destroying of the evil. So you have two approaches to Kabbonis. And then Meshech Chacham comes along and says they're both right. Do you know what a bum is? When we had a Heter Obama, the issue is Bir Avodah Zarah. But when the Beis HaMikdash is built in Yerushalayim, there's an Isser Balma, and all you have is what? The second approach, which is what? Coming close to Hashem. So that Shech Chachma says they're both right. That's why Bizman Beis HaMikdash Kayim, there was an Isser Balma. But before that, there's no Isser Balma. That's why the Mishnah says in Menachos, there's no Reach Nichoach by a Balma. Because to get rid of what? To get rid of the bad stuff. But when you bring an orphan of Korban Beis HaMikdash, that's Reach Nichoach Hashem. And you know what? You should follow the Rambam's Mahalach that you should be Bishvil Azav. Don't be a radical extremist. Don't go to the extremes. You're always trying to be, only two mitos, Kas and Gavi, get rid of. General, you should go. And where do you find that? Saor is Usher and Karbonis in our parsha, and honey. Saor is sour, too extreme. Honey, too sweet. In the middle, Lamaisa. In the middle, you always go to the middle. Now, the first Korban Lamaisa, there was Saor Lamaisa. And there might have been, was there a honey also as well, the first one. But afterwards, that's it. After this, because you got to be Bishvil Azav. You don't want to be a radical guy, extremist. I say Tov, Reach Nechok Hashem. Karo, come close to Hashem. Korban, can't hear you. Because you really should offer yourself. When you're mocking a Korban, I want to be close to Hashem. Neshama Frim Simasenu. I want to be close to him. I can't do it. Can't kill myself, but I want to be close to him. I want to connect, like the machshava we had on Purim. I want to connect. I want to be your God fearing. No matter where I am, I'm with Hashem. You're taking the bus to Boston. You're with Hashem. Doesn't make any difference where you are. I'm off location. I'm off location. I'm off Torah. Come on, you're off Torah mitzvahs. Can I be? This is what Yosef represented to us, the koyach, and this is what Esther, and who else, Mordechai represented to us. This is the Machshav of Purim. And that's what Yosef is giving the five suits. He gave over the strength of Binyamin to Mordechai and to Esther, because they're from Sheva Binyamin. You follow me? And it all started from Yosef, and that's a tremendous zach. Okay, let's stop here. Here's the Mar Mekaymis, guys.